Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. Good to have you with us here. We're about to have a conversation we've been looking forward to here on the Mark Steiner Show with Will Haygood, author of The Butler, A Witness to History, and the Washington Post article that inspired the movie that was written, actually, November 7th, 2008, A Butler Well Served by This Election. He's also a Guggenheim and National Endowment for Humanities Fellow. And Will Haygood, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here again, Mark.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook page where we've put Will Haygood's original article for you to read before the show, or tweet us at Mark Steiner. Well, this is, I tell you, I saw the movie. I read the book that you wrote that went with this movie.
Yep.
And then I reread again this morning before I went on the air your original article, A Butler Well Served by This Election. And I have to tell you this, just a quick thought on this. The article you wrote in 2008 was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It was really a history. It was the beginning of the history of black folks in the White House. But it was, in some ways, even to me, more powerful than the movie itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I am very proud of both the movie and the article was that the article went way back, with Booker T. Washington and his, nighttime secret visit to dine with President Theodore Roosevelt as the first black dining guest at the White House, and that created an uproar. Southerners especially hated the idea that a black man was dining in the White House, and my article talked about all that and went right up to the present.
The one piece in the article I thought would have been lovely to have made the movie because it would have added some context was the story you put in the article about John F. Kennedy being aghast at his White House dinner.
You
tell that story because I think that said so much that he didn't want Sammy Davis Jr. and Britt to be there together as a black man and a white woman, and it wouldn't allow them to be photographed.
Yes, this was a event in 1963, an event at the White House to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. And Louis Martin, who was a Democratic stalwart, had added Sammy Davis's name because Sammy Davis was at the March on Washington, and he supplied a lot of money to the people in jail during the marches down in Selma and in other southern cities. So Sammy, he was married to Mae Britt, the Swedish actress, and he wanted to bring her to the White House, and he did. It was President Kennedy who had thought that Sammy's white wife had been scratched off the invite list. And when he saw them in the ballroom, he was aghast. He was livid. He turned beet red, and he turned to some of his staffers and said, no one must take a photograph of them. He feared the reaction of Southerners that an interracial couple was at the White House. First Lady Jackie Kennedy rushed upstairs. She was so upset with the president for him being upset. She was very mad at him for the rest of the day.
I think that would have been a great scene in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. You would. Yeah.
What did you think of the transformation of Eugene and Helene Allen into Cecil and Gloria Gaines?
Yes. I was very comfortable with it. I think Lee Daniels has made a movie about the essence of Mr. Allen, and I think he has captured that extraordinarily well. It's also a movie about the president, about he served eight presidents, in real life from Harry Truman to Ronald Reagan, the movie really only explores his relationship with five of those presidents. Otherwise, it would have been like a 4.5-hour movie. But the five presidents who are portrayed, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, and Reagan, were at the White House during some very tumultuous years in the nation's history. And in their stories, against the backdrop of the Civil Rights Movement, against the backdrop of Cecil Gaines, Eugene Allen's home life, I think makes for a very, very powerful movie. Much of it's fact. All the historical things really happened. You know, the dates of the Selma March and the assassination of Dr. King and all those epic page one headline moments really happened. The family dynamics, there's fiction interwoven into the family dynamics.
Mm-hmm. But the Gaines family, you mean?
Yes, right. Yes, with the Gaines family. For instance, goodness, and I hope I'm not uttering a spoiler alert for those who haven't seen the movie, but in the movie, the butler has two sons. In real life, he only has one. Now, in real life, his son, Charles, did go to Vietnam, and he survived. That was always very, very, very rich, Mark, to me, that the butler walking down the hallway to take a tray of Pepto-Bismol or food or whatever to President Johnson was staring at the very president who had sent his only son in real life to Vietnam. I mean, so you can imagine what his wife in real life, Helene, what she would think when he came through the door in the evening. Have you talked to the president about getting my boy out of Vietnam? And the son, Charles, did tell me that his father wrote him a letter and said, son, I would like to help you, but I'm really not as close to President Johnson as I was to President Kennedy, and so I can't do anything to shorten your stay in Vietnam.
There's several things I wanted to ask you, and folks, I encourage you all to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com or any other way with Facebook. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Many of you called in and had a great deal to say. We had our raging discussions on the movie The Butler. We'll read some of those comments on the air. But I'd like to hear what you think now as you talk with Will Haygood, who wrote the article, A Butler Well Served by This Election, created this movie, that was what this movie was based on. He's also author of The Butler, Witness to History. So join us here, 410-319-8888. One of the things before I ask some specific questions that actually came up in some of our previous shows about this, to hear your response to them, we had a lot of support for the movie, and there was a lot of critique, and so I wanted to throw some of these things at you and see what you think. But one of the things at the end was interesting, the way Helene passed away on the eve of the election, that you wrote about in your first article in 2008, that was, again, one of those scenes that, to me, was even more moving than what happened in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just how that happened. That was just, again, reading it again after all these years, it was almost just drove me to tears.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was, Mark, I had went to visit them Friday, that Friday, and this unknown butler from the back pages of history, spent the whole day with them Friday. And they took me down the basement. He did, showed me all these treasures. And it was an amazing story. It really felt like I had come across the story of a lifetime. Aside from standing across from the prison in South Africa, watching Nelson Mandela walk to freedom, I just don't know what other story of mine stands up to this one. but 2 days later, Sunday, her son, Charles, he comes over to visit. And his mother meets him at the door and says, "Charles, I'm so happy. Son, I'm just so happy." And he said, "Mama, why? What's going on? Have you hit the lottery or something?" And she said, no. A writer, Will Haygood of the Washington Post, came by, and he's going to write a big story about Eugene, about my Eugene, your father, who served his country faithfully for 34 years. And she said, "I'm so at peace now." And there were some other people in the house. And she said, "Hey, everybody, I'm going upstairs and I'm going to bed. I'm just so at peace now." She went upstairs, went to bed that night, and died. And the next day was the election of this country's first African-American president. Very, very, very haunting, touching story. It just is. It still moves me deeply when I think about it.
It does me as well. It's just the way you put it about his sheltering on the bed and finding her, that he was awake but she wasn't. That was just a very powerful moment. Let me open the phones here and also read some of the things that came up in some of our other discussions. I've really been anxious to hear your response to some of the to some of the things people had said in the past and on air. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Abdul first, though. Abdul, you're on the air. Hi, Abdul, you there?
Yeah.
Welcome.
My name is Abdul Aziz. I know Mr. Allen, his wife, his son, because his son's married. Charles is married to my sister, Otasiana. And I saw the movie, and I've been listening to these interviews. I'm trying to figure out who is he talking about, because I know the family. All that I saw was fiction.
Do you want to be specific about what you mean?
Specific. In the movie, it's more like he's idolized. He's this real understanding guy, but that's not the real Eugene. That's not when you talk about Charles, man. Charles is he's with the was with the FBI, man. He's a crook, man. I'm trying to figure out who you're writing about.
All right, well,
because I know these people. I know them. All right, and they are who I saw on the screen.
Well, the two things. Let me let Will respond, and also let me just say that, of course, these characters on the screen were fictionalized characters. They weren't; they were completely different people. Much of the story was different from some of it was based on it. But what's your response to that, Will?
Well, I'm not going to respond to any attacks on. Any family members of any sort. I'm sorry. I just thank the person for going to see the movie.
the movie. Now, we had some people on here. We had a roaring debate on the show about the movie. The people who loved it and supported it and what was in it, and people thought it was the kind of thing that was a catalyst for discussion. But some people argued that it tried to squish too much history into a short space of time, that it kind of sanitized the history of the civil rights movement, that the whole Zelig thing was out of place, and that it was made to make white people feel good. What were your response to those things when people say that?
I think that Lee Daniels, Laura Ziskin, and Pam Williams, all great producers of this movie, have made a movie whose time has come. There haven't been a lot of civil rights movies in this country, as we know. The ones that have been made, often the camera focuses on the white characters. And, of course, we all know they were very brave white citizens in the civil rights movement. And more than a few lost their lives or murdered as well as blacks. But when it comes to cinema, I think it's important in this movie that the camera stayed focused on the black man, the African-American family, Yes, he was a butler because this is real. The butlers and the maids made money in this country if they worked in homes or if they worked at the White House, and many sent money to relatives still living in the Jim Crow South. It was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. himself who said, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best you can be. If you're going to be a shoeshine man, a garbage man, be the best you can be. Mr. Allen happened to have been a butler, started out as a dishwasher and rose to the highest level, maitre d' at the White House. And I think that's a very, very prideful thing. It's almost biblical in a way to me. The last shall be first. The movie is not about Eisenhower, Kennedy, Reagan, Nixon, any of the other presidents he worked for. It's about him. It's about his life. And, yes, it is exploration of Black America during these tumultuous times and years. And I, for one, think that it does its job extraordinarily well. It made the president cry, as we've seen in the stories this morning. So anyway, I would suggest that people give the movie a chance. Go see it, you know, and before they attack it, you know, which seems to be very fashionable these days to talk without having read the book or seen the play or seen the movie. You know, that seems to be a hobby. And, you know, I think the more information you have, the more astute you will find yourself in talking about movies, books, or plays, whether you like them or not.
Yeah, you have to see it first. We went to see it just about when it came out. We prepared for our conversations, and having looked at your book and then reread your story, and it was a this movie did one of the things you said in this program when our last debate on it was that no matter whether it was people who liked it and didn't like it, was that this movie sparked a discussion.
Yes.
You couldn't walk out of this movie without wrestling with some issues.
Right. You're exactly right, Mark. And I think my grandparents and my mother, all born in Selma, Alabama, that civil rights-soaked city, they escaped or got out, fled within the borders of their own country to Columbus, Ohio, where I was born. And I think that anybody from the South seeing this movie is going to be very, very, very moved. I think a lot of school teachers have been saying that we have to do more to teach our children about this these years in American history. They're raw. They're in terms of history. They're fairly recent, and it's, you know, it's the wound that has been searing at our nation since slavery, and we've come a great distance in this country, a beautiful distance, and that's because of people thinking in a righteous manner, Black and white, old and young, to move us forward, and I think this movie captures some of that journey, and I think that those moments of the sit-ins and of the urban riots in Washington, D.C., and of the butlers in the White House wanting better treatment, and of family dynamics and family pain, I think every family, Black or white, is going to be able to identify with children. Some children want to go down this road, and other children want to go down that road, and especially in Black America, before the civil rights bills were passed in 1964 and 1965, you had older Blacks, many who were afraid of their kids, children, college students going down South,
right,
because they could be murdered. And then what have you got? Then in their mind, they still don't have a civil rights law, and now all they have to do, now all they have is to go to the cemetery every other day or week and visit their child who's dead. I mean, it's a very bone-crushing reality that many parents had to deal with.
And I'm going to go to the phones to try to get a call in here, a couple of them coming in at 410-319-8888, because I think that some people didn't think those scenes were real, but the scenes around the black family in that period were very real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody who lived in that world knows it was real. People were interacting with the other. And I remember in the Civil Rights Movement, so many other parents, black and white, didn't want their kids in the movement. They
right.
did not want their kids in the movement.
Yes.
Period.
Yes, and I think sometimes people well, not a rosy picture on the movement, but, you know, I think sometimes they think it was just hand-holding and singing songs, We Shall Overcome. But it was very, very, very dangerous. There was no federal law to protect you. Goodman, Schwerner, and Cheney, the three civil rights workers murdered in Mississippi, and there's a reference to them in the movie, they went into harm's way because they wanted America to live up to its constitution, and they paid the ultimate price for it. They were murdered on a back road in deepest Mississippi, and there was nobody there to protect them. This is fact. These stories are in the history books. Not enough people know about them, but these are facts. You know, this is
right.
You know, this is what happened during recent history in the 1960s. It was a very different nation. And I think this movie reminds us of all that. And it also reminds us of the beauty of the nation, that we had the maturity, the courage to move forward. We aren't perfect, but a lot of other countries look inside our country and say, you elected a black man to the highest office in the land. You judged him by the content of his character, not the color of his skin.
Let me try to get a call in here before we end our hour together. 410-319-8888. Philip, welcome. You're on the air. Hi, Philip. You're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, how you doing today, sir?
Very well.
I refuse to watch this movie, especially with us having a black president in office. And, you know, people see, or this movie is a visual reminder of black man being nothing more than just a butler in the White House. And I'm tired of us always going back in the past and showing where these lowly positions. I think it would have been a lot better use of showing, another powerful character other than some subservient butler in the White House. Whereas, though, you know, we could have taken stories from Thurgood Marshall and how people of color progress past being maids and butlers. And he also made a reference in The First Shall Be Last. Well, if you consider, if you want to misquote the Bible and say the first shall be last and turn it into, he arose to the position of butler, what does that say to our young black kids, that they should be proud to arise to butler, you know, being a butler?
Okay, but let me just stop. Only 12 people, because we only have literally 3.5 minutes left, and I want to let Will kind of respond. Will?
Yes, well, he rose to the position of Maitre D', so he was over the entire White House staff who looked after the first family. So that's very important. That's an exalted position within the White House. And if he was offered that position, he felt very proud to have that position, and he served it with honor. And it's not like during the 50s he could go out and get executive chef jobs. Many of those jobs were closed to him. He put food on the table. He had a wife, and he had a son, and he was a good man. He worked for 34 years. He never missed a day of work. There's majesty about that. I think it's very sad when people look down at maids and butlers. My grandmother worked as a maid in Selma, Alabama. I love her as large as the sky itself and a million times more because she got on her knees and scrubbed floors to support her daughter, my mother. And I see nothing negative in that. It's work. It's work. People had to work. People worked through bad times in the economy. There were Pullman porters, men on trains. They were gallant men. There's, and they supported their families. They lived the American dream, and you pursue that dream as best you can.
Well, Heywood, I wish we get to these other callers, Jennifer, and I wish you're calling in. We can't get the call because we're out of time, correct? Your support, calling in to support the movie, we appreciate that. We couldn't, but I think, are we out of time, folks? Yes, we are out of time, so I apologize to anybody who gets any more calls that came in late. But I want to thank Will Heygood, author of The Butler, Witness to History, and the article that got all this started that he wrote when he interviewed the original family of Butler, well served by this election. Will, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for this, and I want to congratulate you. Your day has come as well, and I think that it's well-deserved after all the work you've done all these years to have this recognition for your work.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been an honor to be with you again.
Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening in and being part of the show today. I want to thank you all for being with us and remind you on the way out of here that the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late, don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's national foreclosure settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or 877-462-7555. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunnery and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. You can go to our website, steinershow.org, and link to the work and other ideas from our guests and see what they're doing. You can also listen to and download our podcast on iTunes. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.